Appreciate that. Wasn't that beautiful? Appreciate that, ladies. I'm thankful. Are you glad he knows your name today? And I have to say,
I can't hardly hear that song without thinking about being at the hospital one day. And I have a story to tell about one of our children riding on the bus. But years ago, one of our little girls was riding on the bus. She was at the hospital, and I happened to be going down the hall at the children's hospital. And this little girl, I called her by name. We were walking down the hall, Laura and I. And I'll never forget what that little girl did. She looked up at her mom, and she says, "Mommy, he knew my name." And boy, as I walked away from her, I thought, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad he knows my name. And he does know our name today, doesn't he? But I'll tell you what, these children, they're something else. Don't ask them questions, because they're going to give it to you. And so one of these little fellas, they come up to me this morning just before church and said, "Pastor, how old are you going to be for your birthday?" I said, "Well," and this is what you don't ask. I said, "Well, how old do I look?" I said, "Well, you think I ought to look like to be?" And he said, "62. Man, that don't make 48 sound so bad, does it? And then one of them, I let them do it there for a while. I said, "What do you think?" And finally one of them said, "37. I said, "Right there is where we are." But anyway, and so I guess he wanted to know, because he wrote me a little note today and said, "Happy birthday, 48th, Pastor Mark." So anyway, these children are precious, aren't they? They're very, very thankful we have so many of them here. Would you open your precious Bible this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I was looking online, and Brother Corey, we got more people watching today than we've had in a long time, from what I can tell. A lot of people traveling. We have several folks out sick. So if you're out there watching today and you're not feeling well, God bless you. I hope the service will be a great encouragement to you. I know it's not the same as being here, but at least that's better than nothing, right? You can still be a part. And we appreciate you being here today. And we appreciate all of you that are watching online. We do hope and pray the service will be helpful. And you know, I'm glad I have the Bible. Are you glad you have a Bible? And I'm glad that I'm not getting up here and just giving y'all my opinions for the next hour and a half. Yes. I think if I preached an hour and a half, the only two people would be here would be me and Robert, and he'd be asleep. Amen? Man. So I'd be talking to myself. But I want to deal with the church today. Like I said, I've been dealing with just back to the basics, very simple things I dealt with. I dealt with the depravity of man. Very important subject, because we're all depraved in our sin. We dealt with the joy of salvation. Then last week I dealt with just, I'm not going to deal with both ordinances of the church. I preached on baptism. That is one of the two ordinances that God gave the church. But today, I want to look at just simply the church. And really, we can talk about the body of Christ, the church. You know, we're here together as a body of Christ. We're fitly joined together. And we want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God," I love this, "which is at Corinth." Now, I'm going to stop there just a second. I'm glad that our church, and I had nothing to do with it, but I'm glad the church I pastor, and before I got here, identifies in the name of the community in which it is. I'm glad that it's considered Tiftonia Baptist Church. The reason I like that, because anytime you read in the Word of God about a particular church, it's always identified with an area. So I see here as we look at this, this is the church. He's writing to the church at Corinth. The Bible says this, "To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you'll bless the reading of your word. Do what I cannot do. Speak to the hearts of people. We'll thank you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to deal with the church. I'm thankful in verse number 2. The Bible says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth." The last verse, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus." Notice what the Bible says, that we should speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Now we know in verse 2 that the audience of this epistle is for a local church at the city of Corinth. So we already know the subject, we already know the audience, who he's writing to. So he is writing to individuals that make up a local church that is at Corinth. Now, I love being a part of the body of Christ through a local church. How about you? By the way, if I would lose my toe, it would affect the way I walk. If I lost my fingers, it would affect the way I feel. If I lose my whole leg, it's going to affect the way I function. By the way, whether you're a toe, whether you're a finger, whether you're an eye, whether you're an arm, whether you're an elbow, you're important. We all make up this body that God calls the local church. In particular here, the church at Corinth. Now, the church is no ordinary group of people. Now, let's just take the local congregation here that we call Tiftonia Baptist Church. What's amazing to me is there's Yankees here. There's Alabamians here. There are Georgians here. There are Tennesseans here. There's West Virginians here. Yep. We're all different. We have different personalities. We have different likes. If you go out in our parking lot, it amazes me the taste of people. There are all kinds of different styles, makes, and models of vehicles. And not a one of them's wrong, but it's what we want or we like. And we all have different preferences. Here's what's amazing about this. We all get along. That's not ordinary, church. So the church is no ordinary group of people. She is special in the eyes of God. Now, think about this. The very word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia. In other words, called out. That's what that word means. It's a called out assembly. God says in the book of Peter that He called a peculiar people. That's a people of His own possession. The church's primary function is we're living in this world, but we are apart from this world. We've been set apart to God for a purpose. We meet here 3 times a week and many other days, more than just to say that we've come and filled a pew. We're here to do the will of God, and we do that through the local church. Now, sadly, many today view their association with the church in a very casual way. Now, I'm not being ugly this morning, but if this church, if any local church is a special church and it's been blessed of God, it's not an ordinary thing to be carrying on the work of God. The Lord Jesus did not think that it was casual to start the church, because the Bible said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. God said that he loved it so much that he gave his only son that he might redeem unto him a perfect people or a maturing people. Can I say God has never looked at the church in a casual way? Neither should we. Neither should we. There are so many people today that have this casual attitude about the church, and it's like they can take it or leave it. And by the way, most leave it. And I'm not being ugly. I'm not preaching to you here this morning. You're here, and I thank God you're here. But I want you to know something. I'm talking about the church, and the price that was paid deserves much more than a casual attitude. The price that was paid for us to be an abnormal people, to be no ordinary people, to be a part of an organism, a church, a local church that God has already told us will never fail, that deserves more than a casual attitude. And so when we think about the church, our responsibilities, we think about our obligations. So I want to just spend today, and I'll finish tonight. This will be part one. Someone says, hey, your sermons are just like bologna. You can slice it off anywhere and it's still good. Amen. We'll see what happens. Look at number one here with me. I want you to notice this. Let's just look at the origin of the church. I mean, this needs to be stated in verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Unto the church of God. Notice this. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints. With all that in every place. Call upon the name. Here's what's amazing to me. The church was no man-made idea. Who come up with this? Who in the world thought about a group of people coming together and joining themselves certain times during the week and to set under the preaching of God's word, to have ministries, to reach out into the world? I mean, who come up with this? I thought back in the 40s, this church was started. Who in the world started this church? Who in the world ever come up with this idea? I mean, think about it now. I mean, think about it. What a pioneer. If someone just sat here in the valley one day and said, you know what, we need a church here. And they just went and started. Well, now I'm going to tell you who started the church. God did. It wasn't some man-made idea. By the way, if man made this idea, it would be totally different than what it was, than what it is. But the origin of the church, it's divine in origin. It was instituted of God with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the Bible says. The church is not a man-made institution. We're a product of God. We are part of something. Now I want you to stay with me. We are a part of something far greater than we could ever imagine. God ordained the church. He built it. He will sustain it. Now, the church began over 2,000 years ago. That's amazing within itself. By the way, down through the ages, evil men, not just in America, but evil men. You do understand, Hitler waged war on Christianity. Mao Zedong waged war on Christianity. Joseph Stalin waged war on Christianity. And there's government officials in our country today trying to wage war on Christianity. And I want you to know something. Every attempt to wage war on Christianity will fail. Not because I say it will fail, because God says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. All through centuries they've tried to stamp out the church. They've tried to stamp out this book. By the way, many have tried to burn the book. They've tried to ban the book. They've tried to keep it away from their people. But I thank God it's still here and it's still settled in heaven. Do you know today, even in China, in a communist country, there are millions of Christians on Sunday hiding and worshiping God in homes all over the country because they know that there is a God who is real and who has saved them. By the way, we see that Hitler tried, Stalin tried, Mao Zedong tried. By the way, I'm not being ugly here today, but I just want you to know something. If they didn't get saved, they're in hell today, and this book is still being preached. You're not going to stop the Word of God. You're not going to stop the church. Oh, there's been times. By the way, I think one of the greatest attempts in all of human history to try to stamp out the church, to try to lessen the church, to try to devalue the church, was through the pandemic. I'm telling you right now, some people say, oh, I'll tell you what, Pastor, you're a little crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist. Listen to me, I'm telling you right now, there's always evil at work, and there are the evil that would love to stop the church's ministries. They would love to get every bit of religious material off of social media, but they can try, it will never happen. Why? I'm not saying we're tough. I'm telling you God's promise is true. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So y'all know what? We're on the winning side. Sometimes it looks like we might not be, but we are. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Wasn't on planning on singing, but I think I'll just bust out in a song. Out in sin. No more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. I'm singing so bad I've done run people off. Amen. I'm joking. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. Y'all on the winning side? How about y'all show your face, all right? Show it with your face. Let's try it again. Y'all want to sing that with me? Y'all ready? Y'all know the words? Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. Y'all know I'm on the winning side. You know why you're on the winning side? Because God done promised us victory. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, it started over 2,000 years ago. No force on this earth will stop the church. No force. No force will stop the church. Those who have been called out have been placed in the most glorious institution known to man, the local church. We, listen to me, church, we will face opposition. There's no doubt about it. We're going to face it. We have faced it. We will face it. We will face opposition. We will face persecution. But the church of God will remain. We see the origin of the church. I want you to notice this morning, the ordination of the church. Look at verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. I love that. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, I want you to know something. The church is really not an organization. It's really not. I like to refer to the church as a living organism. It's not an organization. We don't have a CEO. By the way, if we do have one, he's up in heaven. I'll never forget, I was at the hospital one day. I think Miss Kathy then was there, and there was a gentleman there, and he was asking. We were talking. He was a pastor of a church. We were talking, and I said, well, we don't have any headquarters here on earth. Our headquarters is in heaven. It's truth. That's the difference between an independent Baptist and someone that's involved in some other denominations. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you, if someone is called to a mission field in this church and you feel like that's where God called you, then we're not going to get in the way and tell you we don't have the funds to send you there. We're going to let you go where God calls you. That's between you and God. That's not some board's decision to decide where you're called to the ministry. We're independent. What I mean by that is we're self-governing. We're autonomous. We're self-supporting. We don't need any help outside of this building. Everything that is funded and taken care of by this church is independent of nothing else, of just what our members are. We're self-governing. In other words, we allow the Lord to lead us. We have a pastor. We have deacons. I believe that we're biblical in that. We understand the pastor is the under-shepherd. We think of the deacons, they're to be servants. We have different department heads, people that are in leadership, and we take all of these things serious. But the truth is the ordination of the church. Why is it important? So let's just talk a moment about the church's significance. Notice what the Bible says. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Here's what I love about this. They are at a church in Corinth. They're a local congregation. The church had been placed there within that own community. How important is that? Can you imagine living in a state or a city? And by the way, there's many cities like this in the state of Oregon alone. You can drive hundreds of miles and not even find a church. We live in the South where on every corner there's a church. But can you imagine that we've been blessed that this church has been placed right here in our community? Can I just make this statement? Whether she understands it or not, Lookout Valley is blessed because this church is here. It's significant. It's blessed. Chattanooga is blessed because of this church. I also rejoice in just the fellowship alone that we have in the church. I'm talking now about the significance of the church. I think it was Miss Francis. We need to continue to pray for Miss Francis. She's not been feeling well. But I talked to her on the phone the other day and she said, "Pastor Mark, I don't know what I would do without my church family." How about you? It's pretty significant, isn't it? By the way, I think that this town is blessed by our presence here. We're a gospel witness here. By the way, I'm not being ugly, I'm just being honest. You let a tragedy happen in this town, I'm going to tell you who they reach for. When there's been tragedy strike over there at that elementary school, I can promise you this, me and several other pastors in this area have been contacted and they've given us the whole hour or several hours over there in that school to minister to children and to pray. So I want you to know something. The community knows that this church is vital too. Just a few years ago when that precious little girl was killed in the car accident and it shook the whole area. It shook the whole area. It shook our whole little community. This little girl that was killed. She was affectionately referred to as Bob. Many of you know her. It shook the whole community. That very same day, calls came in and within minutes, I was not only in the elementary school but also over in the junior high school ministering to children where they say, "Stay out!" When a tragedy strikes, when they know those children need help, all of a sudden, this church becomes awful important to them. And by the way, I don't need some tragedy to strike this area to know how important, how vital this church is to us. It's significant. Can I say it's only significant, but I want you to know it's sanctified. I love this. Verse 2, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." I love this. You know, look, there's a lot of organizations doing a lot of good things. There's a lot of organizations in this country, in this area, in our city, around the world, that's doing wonderful things. And you're always being solicited by these people. Good causes. Good things. I'm not knocking them. But I don't care what they're involved in. There is nothing more noble, there is nothing more pure, there is nothing more wonderful than to be a part of an institution that is dealing with sanctification. The Bible says right here that we've been sanctified. By the way, I'm for all of the helpful things. And we give to certain things. I don't give greatly to a lot of organizations. I give most of my donations to spiritual church. That's what I do. I'm not saying that giving to other things aren't good, but I just believe in the gospel. Do y'all believe in the gospel? I believe that people's lives will be changed if they can get a hold of Christ. If they fall in love with Jesus, I can tell you right now, they'll no longer be a drug addict. Promise you that. But I want you to know something. We understand here the sanctification. There's a lot of organizations that do good works that benefit the community, but none of them can, and I'm not boasting this morning, but we're obtaining sanctification. The church was bought with a price. The church was redeemed of God. Can I say, we were washed and made clean through the precious blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary, and we are blessed beyond measure to be sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time you try to minimize the old church down here on 518 Browns Ferry Road, think again. Oh, that's just a church day. No, we are the church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the church just happens to gather together in a local building. But the church will be going out into workplaces tomorrow. The churches will be going into hospitals. The church will be going into Walmart. It's amazing living in this little town of Lookout Valley. I'm telling you right now, I don't think I've ever went to Walmart and not seen somebody that I know. Amen? We see the significance. We see the sanctification of the church. We see the origin of the church. We see the ordination. But can I say this morning, in verse number 4 through 6, we see the opportunity of the church. Here's what's amazing. Look at verse 4. The Bible says this: I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by Him. I could stop right there. Enriched by Him. See, here's what's amazing about the church. The church is unique. There's nothing anywhere else like it in the world. There really is. We enjoy opportunities. You know, there was a young couple they're visiting. We need to pray for them. I told them, I said, look, this is serious business when people are wanting to find a church. Because I want to tell you something. I think when you find a church, be your church home, I think it's the most important decision you make. You ought to be able to grow in that church. You ought to be able to serve, put influence and work in that church. And so we were walking around. And I'm just now talking about the physical structure. I remember when we came here 13 years ago, the downstairs was amazing to me. It's so big. This, and even this couple that we toured Wednesday night, they wanted to see the building. They went downstairs like, wow, this building is so deceiving. It doesn't look this big. And she's right. Downstairs is like a maze. It used to be worse. Now we've done all that work down there. Now there's two halls and the middle don't run all the way through. But Laura always said, man, if somebody ever comes in this church and wants to have fun with us and, you know, and what I mean by that is you never know. I mean, these days, I'm not trying to be scary, but I mean, look, you understand there has been some church shootings, but all y'all got to do is make it downstairs. Y'all going to be all right. They won't find you there, I promise. Just keep the lights off. There's so many little nooks and crannies down there in rooms, and if you've never been downstairs, you need to come to me after service. Say, Pastor Mark, take us downstairs. Let's look at the downstairs. You need to go downstairs. I bring all that up. Just the physical structure of buildings are unique. But I want you to know something. The absolutely makeup of a church, a local congregation, is unique. Let's look at the opportunity. Here it is. Look at verse 4. We've been adopted. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know what? God, He reveals here the gift of grace that the church has received. By the grace of God that we have the opportunity of salvation. Being adopted in the family of God. Have you ever thought about this? How many of you were raised in a Christian home and you were taught the Bible and the way of salvation as a young child? Would you raise your hand? Isn't that amazing? You ever wondered why you've been so blessed? And now you say, Pastor Mark, I wasn't raised that way. But if you're in this church and you've been attending this church, you've been blessed because now you have heard the way of salvation. You've heard that Jesus Christ loves you. That's why He came to this earth. He bled and died. He sacrificed Himself that we might go free. Your sin, my sin, put Him on the cross. That's why He went. Because your sin and my sin had to be paid for. Jesus Christ paid for that sin. And God says, if you'll accept my Son as the payment of your sin, and you repent of your sin and say, oh Lord, I believe that you died for me, and I'm asking you to save me from my sin. When you put that faith in Christ, God says you're saved. You become a child of God. Now you tell me, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Could you imagine if our government come up with a way to get us all to heaven? There'd be more red tape than you could shake a stick at. I've even heard government officials say, hey, look, and by the way, I'm for small government. I think it should be so small you don't even know it's there. I believe that's the idea of our founding fathers. They wanted something so small you didn't even know it was there, because they had a belief, and I have a belief, that men can govern themselves. I'm going to be honest with you. I appreciate people trying to be helpful with me, with my health and all of those things, but I just want you to know something. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to take the best care I can of myself. I don't expect the government to do it. It's amazing to be a free will being with unalienable rights that God's given all of us. It's a beautiful thing. But the church is beautiful in the sense of this, is we've been adopted. We have an opportunity, and I hope you are a child of God today. See, when you get saved, you get adopted into the family of God. You become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That is a beautiful thing. And you know what happens when you're adopted? That means, especially in Bible days, you had the same rights that the biological child had. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing, her adoption. Can I say, if Jesus Christ did not provide the way of salvation, listen to me, we have no way of getting there. None. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. Why? He adopts us. Our faith in Christ adopts us. Now, I'm thankful that we have a church that preaches the gospel, and we're trying to let people know that you can be adopted into the family of God. And if you're not saved today, why not? Today's a good day. Can I say, not only her adoption, but let me close with this morning, and there's where we're trying to get to, amen? The close. I can tell y'all are wanting me to go on for another 30 minutes. You didn't say amen. Yeah. What about her abundance? Look at verse 5 and 6. That in everything you're enriched by Him. I love that. You're enriched by Him. Enriched. 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 Y'all want to hear some West Virginia talk? He done blessed you real good. He done blessed you real good, ain't he? That's what he said. Now, I don't know how you-ins would say it. Y'all. Here's the northern, you guys. Take your you guys and just leave it up there. It's y'all down here. And y'all take your unsweet tea and have at it, but down here we're going to have our sweet tea. Something else that I'm amazed in the South, and we don't even do it in West Virginia, man. When someone has a funeral here, I mean, it don't matter. I mean, we're going to cause wrecks down here. We're going to stop and pull off the side of the road. We didn't even do that in West Virginia. You said, Pastor, why are you bringing this up? Because He blessed us real good. Bible says He's enriched us. Looky here. Looky here. Ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, I want you to notice something. He's given us an abundance of blessings. Enriched in Him. See, it seems like that everybody wants to get involved in every organization in this country. And by the way, I'm not against it. People want to belong to something. And there's these organizations, and they want to get involved in these organizations, and they want to get involved in these organizations so they can support the cause of these organizations. There's no shortage of these groups around the world. And by the way, you know what I'm talking about. You're always being solicited by them. And I understand. When someone has a cause, they want people to get behind it. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. But nonetheless, people have a free will whether or not they support that cause. But I get the idea. If you're really behind something, you go put more in it than just words. But here's what's amazing about those works. Their works, those organizations are limited by the resources that they have available. But now y'all just sit still this morning. Don't get excited. Don't smile. Don't do anything like that. But this organization whose founder and CEO is in heaven, there's no shortage of resources in him. I remember years ago, just young in the ministry, Greystone Baptist Church. Dear sweet lady, her name's Carol Allen. She's still there. Her husband was going through some health issues. Of course, the church tried to help a little bit, but I'm talking, this was major stuff. I'll never forget it. I never heard this phrase in my life, and she looked at me and we were talking about it. And I was trying to figure out how we could help. And I thought she was discouraged. And so I'll never forget. And here's what she said. I've never forgotten it. She says, well, Pastor, now you do know. But we know that God says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I said, yeah, I've never heard this in my life. She said, yeah. I said, yeah. She said, well, all he's got to do is sell a couple of them. And I thought, man, I want to have an outlook like that. Most people I know don't have an outlook like that. But you know what she was saying? Oh, God's got all the resources. I don't need to fret. I don't need to worry. See why? Because our founder and CEO is in heaven. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't bankrupt heaven. Amen. Often we're of the mindset that we're limited only to the ability of the resources of our people. By the way, there's a lot of resources here. God's blessed us real good. And by the way, I love the giving of our church, but I've learned something. God has blessed this church more than just what we can do here. It amazes me. When we were doing this parking lot, it amazed me that I didn't even know people would call and say, hey, we hear you're getting ready to do a parking lot, and they sent us thousands of dollars. They weren't even affiliated with our church. Now you tell me who does stuff like that. See, we have resources. It's not just limited to us. We have a CEO in heaven. We know that there's no limit to God. Is able to do everything. He has enriched us in everything. We can never bankrupt heaven. Do you realize that we have access to far more than what we have ever, will ever use? I'm going to make this statement. I'm going to close. There is no limit to the opportunity, the possibility of what this church can do. Whatever you have in your mind, it's like, oh, well, we could, we can. Now, obviously, I'm talking a little bit about finances here, but not really. But I'm going to touch on it. I know this is going to shock y'all. I've never one time worried about that here. Not once. And I pity anybody that does. So what, Pastor? We're enriched in Him. I've never one time considered the fact that God is going to allow this church to go bankrupt. I'm going to share this in close. We took this young couple. They wanted to see the church. And you know, I didn't say anything to them, but we showed them around the buildings. We got downstairs. She said, everything in this church looks new. She said, have y'all remodeled? I said, everything. Everything's been remodeled in this building. Everything. Everything's been remodeled over in that other building. A new parking lot has been put on. And by the way, I'm not being ugly. This is my only gripe. And I'm sorry. I think the most silliest thing we ever had to do is put a pond back here. And I'm going to be honest. If I sit and think about that pond, I'll get in the flesh. So I'm going to get up off of that. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. It takes a perfect, beautiful field over here and cut it up and chop it up, and all because we're worried about water. And if y'all disagree with me, I'm sorry, you have the right to be wrong. Amen? That's the way I feel about it. And we did the best we can with it, but every time I pull in this park, I look over at that pond and I say, that's ridiculous. So y'all let me have my little thorn in the flesh. But everything that's been done here. And I said, yeah, everything. And I wasn't bragging, I'm just saying. And we're still good. Better than good. We've not even come close to bankrupting heaven. Not even close. And there's so much more to be done. We need to do it. Amen? Amen. Y'all glad you're part of a church? I just happen to think y'all just happen to be a part of the best one. Y'all are so blessed. And I just happen to be the pastor of the best one. And I'm so blessed. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. I really wouldn't. And I certainly wouldn't be inviting other people to come be a part of us. Church, what we have is special. We have to guard it. And ask God to help us. Would you stand on your feet this morning? Remember, ladies, I'm going on the shopping trip. We meet right up here right after church just for a real quick one. I want you to sit and think just for a second as we close. We're still a few minutes. How important is your church family to you? I'm not talking about buildings. This is where we gather. When I walked in that little old room of Miss Linda, where she's been bedridden for weeks, the first thing I seen when I walked in was all those cards from her church family right there on her wall. And the lady that was in there with her, she said, my goodness, she said, I've never seen a church be so loving and kind. I want you to know something. That means the world to me. Could I ask this question this morning as we close? Do you know for sure if you die, you're going to heaven? Would you be honest? Now listen, that's important stuff. Don't miss that. Do you know for sure if you die, you're going to heaven? If not, you're in a good place. Why don't you come? We'll have someone take the Bible. We'll show you today how you can be saved. I promise you. You can have it. You can have eternal life today. I promise you. No gimmicks. Truth. Right from the Bible. Would you come? Then I'm going to ask for you that are Christian and you're a part of this church. How many of you are thankful for this church? How many are thankful for your family members of this church? Well, why don't you come or pray there where you're at? Pray and ask God to put a hedge of protection and to thank God for what the significance of our church is to this area and to each other. Then before we leave today, how about you find somebody today before you leave this building? You just go up to them and tell them, I just want you to know I love you and I thank God for you being a part of my life. Maybe somebody needs encouragement today. Why don't you be that encourager? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you will just continue to speak to our hearts. We're thankful for the church, Lord. We're thankful that it's not a man-made institution. We're thankful we can't bankrupt heaven. Lord, I'm thankful we have a CEO that's in heaven. Lord, I'm so thankful for your plan of salvation. It's not a man-made way of salvation. Lord, thank you for putting us in your family once we get saved. It's just, all of it's beautiful. And so we want to thank you today. We ask you to bless now, give everyone safety, bring us back tonight at the appointed time. All of those that are out sick, I pray you'll touch their bodies. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say it. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tonight.